joyful noise. So we're starting a new series today, and really just kind of our theme for the year is renewed by His Word. I'm going to be preaching out of this book. Oops, there's your bookmark, sorry. It's called Renewing the Mind 2.0. It's by a guy named Casey Treat. Christine and I have listened to him for probably since our early years of marriage, and probably I knew him before then for quite a while. And just a good, solid teacher of God's Word. There's also a little devotional that goes with it. It's called Renewing the Mind Devotional. Simple. Renewing the Mind Devotional. It's easy to remember. Get it on Amazon. I think this is 19-something, and this is probably $7. I think it's a worthwhile buy. I don't recommend a lot of books for everybody to buy, but I think this is a really solid book for you to grow by, for you to just develop some good, you know, habits from, and just to grow in what God has for you. So I suggest get on Amazon, buy it, or go to the bookstore. They could probably order it for you, but it's worthwhile owning. So here we are, beginning of a new year. I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm going to preach, like, long. I wanted to say thank you to our kids workers, too, because last week I think they were in with the kids for 2 hours. I think Renee had two babies for 2 hours, going strong, and, I mean, it was quite a long time for them, so thank you. I want to thank, too, our worship team, because, you know, like, every Sunday morning they pull in here early. They're here around 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, and they're just the same group every week, our worship and sound team. And they just come up, and they faithfully serve every week and just make it easy for us to enter God's presence. So I want to say thanks to them. And I want to, you know, I'll say thanks throughout the year, but true. It was a good service this morning, phone service. So thank you. But we're at the beginning of the year, and it's a time for some changes, some new things, I think. People, anybody here make kind of New Year's resolutions, or everybody give up on that already? I'm 53. I don't call them resolutions anymore. I call them commitments, and mostly I try and keep them. Sometimes I don't quite make it through a week. Sometimes I don't quite make it through a month. Sometimes I make it through a whole year. I've done the one-year Bible 3 years in a row now, and so I've enjoyed that. That's a commitment I've made every year. So we all, like, sort of have ideas about things we want to change, and some people think, well, maybe I'll join a gym, or other people think, well, maybe I'm going to work a little bit harder on my job and try and get that promotion. Some people think, well, I'm going to work a little harder at school so I don't, you know, worry about failing every test I take. Or some people think, well, I'm going to give up on this addiction. I'm not going to go to that website. But a lot of times we start these kind of ideas and we get partway into our year, like by January 3rd, and we're failed. maybe 5th. But most of the time these changes don't take hold, and we give up. I noticed some, because even as I mentioned, like Christine and I listened to this stuff. I mean, I have his old book somewhere called Renewing the Mind, his first one he wrote. And I read it years ago, and I learned it, and it helped me. But, you know, 25 years later, the things that you used to know, sometimes they've slipped into the cobwebs in the back of your mind. And so there's this. Sometimes, you know, like it's our changes don't always take hold. Most or a lot of people would take time at the beginning of the year to set some goals and try to change, but, it's really not the best way. The Bible actually teaches us that, like, the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day to kind of just reflect on your week, to go through your week. Today, Sunday, it's a good day to look back on your week, to think about your week, to think about, did what I do this week please and bring glory to God? Did it? Was it worthwhile work? Was what I did, you know, honoring to God? And think about your next week and kind of lay that out, you know, for God's glory, for to serve Him. So, but we could do it once a week or we could do it once a year. But what we need to do is we need to commit to it. When we look around, you know, in this world, we see, like, so many people so stressed out. You know, fatigue is, like, such a prevalent thing in our culture. Anxiety, depression. I think I was reading in North America, we in North America, I think, use over 60% of the, anti-anxiety, depression, mental drugs in the world are used in North America, where really, we've lived in peace and safety for so many years, and we really have everything that we need, but we're struggling with anxiety and pressure and stress and discouragement. Huge issues in our culture, but even probably right here in this room. People are worn out. They don't know how to turn things around. But what we really need to do as we enter this new year is connect with God. Last year we talked about living in His presence. Really important for us to connect with God, but also to connect with His Word. So that we can see what God's plan is for our life, what the blueprint is for living a fulfilled and a peaceful life. A few years ago, I put a pellet stove in my house, and it was a big blessing to me. It's like so warm. It's like my house is hot. Like my kids live in shorts and t-shirt all winter long, and even upstairs it's warm. But this year I started having trouble with my pellet stove, and I've been tinkering with it for like quite a long time. And it just won't burn the way it's supposed to burn, and it's going through a lot more pellets than it should go through. And I'm just like, this is driving me, you know, nutty. And I was like sitting last night, and I was thinking about, you know, what it could be. You know, do you ever have a problem? You just sit for a while and try and think, what could it be? Well, so then I thought, well, you know what? I have an owner's manual. I should probably look at the owner's manual. Oh, man. And see how to get the optimum burn out of my stove. Now, so I did, and I kind of like, I think I have the solution now, so I'm going to have to get to that tomorrow. But like, it's like, I think that so many times, like I'm just like, Ralph, why don't you just learn and just read the manual? Most guys, I think, have the same problem. But like as believers, right, so many times we can burn so brightly, and our lives can be so much more, but we forget to read the owner's manual. We forget that God has a good plan and a good way and a good will for our life, right? And so we struggle. We get tired out. We get frustrated. We get worn out. We get, you know, like more and more just as we get older, right? We just struggle more. But if we could just wait on the Lord and have a relationship with Him, we could renew our strength. I mean, I think most of us have heard the scripture. I've read it many times in the church. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is what it said. This is the owner's manual, right? This is like the section you turn to when you're worn out. It says, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." This is what it's telling us we should do. People, and even believing people, are living in anxiety and stress and discouragement, right? A lot of spiritual symptoms, really, like mental and spiritual symptoms to a life that really needs to trust in God, right? And as we get older, it gets worse, right? And when it should really get better. We shouldn't be more fatigued. We should be stronger in the Lord. As we get older in the Lord, we should get stronger. Because this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says, "That is why we are not discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out," right? How many of you are getting older and you feel like, you know, in the morning it's kind of a little bit more get out of bed? Like when I was like 15, I was like a little bit looser and more limber, but this is what the Bible says, right? That we are, right, wearing out, but inwardly we are renewed day by day. So the spiritual part of us, the whole mental part of us, as we get God's Word in us, is more and more bright every single day. So how about you? Do you have some things in your life that you want for the new year? Or do you just want to push rewind on last year and play it again? Anybody want to do that? I want to keep growing. I want to keep learning. I want to have God do some new things in my life. I want my life to just keep moving forward. I want to trust that God can do good things. Last year was a great year for me. Hard year, great year. Like, honestly, I told you guys this, I'm going to tell you the story again. hear my stories over and over because I don't really have a big enough life sometimes, so I just got to repeat, rewatch the old stories. But I was in Port Elgin like this last year in April, and I'm walking along the beach and I'm telling God, God, you're so good, you're so great, I love you so much. And God really spoke clearly to my heart and said, so are we going to just coast into retirement now, or are we going to still build something? And so, like, that was a harsh statement to me. Like, to me, I was kind of mad at God when he asked me that question. So I was like, God, I work hard. You know I work hard. You know I haven't let up. You know I still go full out. But then the challenge over the months after that, as I was processing that question, was, do you still dream? Do you still have a passion to see what I could do instead of just settling for what I am doing? Are you still willing to take a chance? Are you still willing to believe that I can do something greater than what you think I can? That whole idea. And so like that year, this year, last year was a real, real challenge for me because like I realized I have some personality defects. I don't know if any of you have any of them, but I do have some personality defects that really make it hard for me to keep moving forward. I can easily get frustrated. I can easily get discouraged. I can easily get like to the point where like because I'm a pastor and my calling is to help you in your struggles. Sometimes I think I got to carry your struggle for you, and I feel like I get all weighed down. And so all these things come up in my life, and I start, you know, like getting these problems with my head. And then I think, well, I just don't want to try any harder because I don't really think I can handle more. Get it? So I think like we need to understand that God is speaking to us, and God might be speaking to you in this room this morning and saying, dare to dream again. Dare to believe me for something more. Don't settle where you are. Don't stay in your addiction. Don't stay in your place that you are today. But believe that by my spirit and by my word, you can grow and you can change. It's an invitation to something greater. Here's what the word of God says about you. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So here's the good news. God has a plan and has already decided that he wants you to be like Jesus. God wants you to be like Jesus. That's what this verse is saying. He's already predestined that you should be like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his son. To have the heart of Jesus, to have the thoughts of Jesus, to have the attitude of Jesus, and to be like Jesus, that's what our call is. And that's why they call us Christians, is to be like Christ. So God is calling us into his image, to his likeness, to start to think the thoughts of Jesus, to live the life of Jesus. Our goal is to love like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. That's our goal as believers, that we should do that. None of us here are there yet. Anybody there? Like Casey, we heard him talking when we were down in Virginia Beach, and he was saying, well, I ran into this guy in the airport, and he said, Casey, I read your book, and I renewed my mind. I'm done. It's done. I'm done. I renewed my mind. It's all done. I was like, well, I think you missed the point of the book. But like, so we're in a process of change, and when we reach a certain place where we think we've made it, that's a good place to start and to keep growing from. It's a place of, you know, just God working in our lives. None of us are there yet. We're all still in the process, and we all have thoughts and attitudes that are not like Christ. And you might say, not me, but honestly, tell me the truth. I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. How many of you this week have listened to or shared gossip? Honestly, I've heard it, I didn't like it, but it's there. So there's always something we can grow in. How many of you this week like just really had a bad attitude toward either your spouse or your children or to someone close to you? Anybody? Okay, so like we're all in this together. We're growing, right? We need to grow and change. So we can all be a bit selfish, can all be a bit angry, moody, we can all create some drama. You might not think you're the drama creator, but sometimes the ones who think they aren't creating the drama are the drama. So, like, you might not think it's you, but it might be you. So we all are there. We all have these things, and we got to keep growing, right? At church, we might be able to, like, fool people, right? We might be able to fake it at church. We might be able to, like, just look like everything's okay. I've run into so many people, right, that on a Sunday, they tell me they're okay, and on Monday, they're calling me on the phone and letting me know their life's falling apart, right? So we fake our way through Sunday, and then we get home, and we have a hard time living like Jesus lived. And this is not a criticism. This is not saying, oh, you're so bad because you live that way. This is an invitation to a better life. This is an invitation to live God's way and to enjoy God's presence and to not be burdened down by all this stuff. I don't know about you, but like sometimes I'm grumpy. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I mean, I probably am grumpy more than I should be. And she has to put up with that. But I don't want to stay there. I don't enjoy it. Like, am I grumpy with my family and then I feel bad because I was grumpy and I got to apologize and I got to, you know, whatever, get back in the good books, right? Because I was acting not very nice. I'm just being honest. I don't know if anybody else has my problems, but I have some serious, like, stuff. Like, and I'm working on it. I am. I really am. But like, I'm changing. But when we are, you know, at home and struggling, right, we need to, like, give it to Jesus and live a life for him. You might come to church this morning and raise your hands and you're telling people that everything's great, everything's wonderful, yet at home you're still struggling. We all have thoughts and behaviors that are not Christ-like. We all do. But how are we going to get from where we are to the life that God has planned for us? How are we going to get there? How are we going to get from where we are to where God wants us to be? How are we going to get our thoughts and our attitudes in line with who Jesus is? That's the question, really, and this is what we're going to work on and focus on this year, is to get from where we are to where Jesus wants us to be, and we just got to keep growing, right? So, how are we going to get to the place of peace and trust in him? Because I found this. I really believe this. I think this is a revelation. It might not seem like it to you. So just take what I'm going to say and think about it. It's one thing to have faith in God. It's a total other thing to trust in God. Trust is really showed out in our everyday life when we just believe that he's got it. When we just believe that his word is true. That's established. I think faith is an important part of trust. But trust is really, I mean, you can work up faith. Like, you can work up that, you know, like, but trust is something that settles in our heart. And so we need to learn to trust in God. So here's what I want to say. There's a lot of people who have sat in church for a long time and they're not moving along. They're in the same hole they were always in. They have the same attitudes they've always had. And like, to a degree, I mean, I've struggled with some of the same things over and over and over again in life. So if you're that person, I kind of sympathize with you. I'm growing. But there are some issues that keep coming up that I just have to keep. But sitting in church alone is not going to move you along. I know people have sat in church their whole life and don't even know Jesus. So sitting in church is not going to move you along. Just praying a prayer and asking Jesus into your life will get you to heaven, but it won't really get you into a free and victorious life. You can give your heart to Jesus and kind of stay in the same stuff you're in today, right? We have to get into and participate in the process of renewing our minds. This is something we have to participate in. It's not going to come by osmosis. It's not going to come just hanging around. It's going to come by you deciding to believe in God's word and do what it says. It's not about having a positive attitude. I mean, we all hear the gurus, you know, have a positive attitude. And it's good to have a positive attitude. I'd rather be around positive people than be around negative people. It's more fun being around someone. Like, if you're around Bob, Bob's got a positive attitude. Like, the whole, you know, things could be coming apart around him. He's like, praise God, it's an opportunity for a miracle, right? That's Bob. And so, like, That's, you know, that's excellent. But just having a positive attitude is not going to move you along. Right? This is about connecting with God. You can be positive and still be lost. You can be positive and still be lost. You can be positive and still not have freedom. Mark talked about this last week. Lost people are lost because they can't find their way. And I think sometimes when you just get into positive thinking, it's like me wanting to go to James Street in Hamilton and having a map of St. Catharines where I find James Street on and trying to get there by the wrong map. I'm still going to be lost. I'm not going to know where James Street is in Hamilton because I'm looking at a map of St. Catharines and I'm trying to find my way to James Street in Hamilton. It's still lost. You're using the right kind of words, but you're not really having, you're missing the plot. And the plot is we need relationship with God. We need presence of God, the power of God to help us. Many people are living this way. They're trying to be positive, but they're lost because they're not connecting with God. And our connection with God is through what we just talked about in communion. It's through Jesus. The only reason we can connect to God is because Jesus gave his life. He died for us. And through his word. This word, like, I mean, I know sometimes we struggle with reading the word of God. But every answer to every problem, every question you have in life is in God's word. I mean, we were having some problem with the boiler yesterday, and I was reading through the manual on the boiler, and the question that I had was not answered in the manual. It was like I read like a lot of just like words, and I was like, you know, because these words, and they didn't connect with anything in my head. But God's word has every answer that we need for life. There's nothing missing in here. It's got everything we need. The way to get where you want to go, the way to experience all that God has for you on this earth is to renew your mind. Here's the deal, though. You don't have to. You don't have to renew your mind. It's your choice. You can stay the way you are today and get to heaven. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you could stay this way. You'll get to heaven. You'll have a great time in heaven with the rest of us. It's going to be awesome. You could even get worse than you are today and still make it to heaven. But if you want to enjoy all that God has for you here on earth, we got to get our mind and our thinking and our hearts in line with what God's word says and how he says to live. It's like I'm working on the pellet stove and I got a lazy flame and it's just like kind of like, and it's not throwing the heat it should throw and it's going through so many pellets because it's not working right because I'm not doing it the right way. Something's wrong. Something's broken. And so many times we live our life with a lazy flame. We're tired. We're worn out. We're not shining brightly because we do not really rely on God's word. We all know lots of Christians who are miserable. Anybody know a miserable Christian? If you don't, I could introduce you to a few. Could have introduced you to me a couple days ago. Struggling, fearful, stuck, going through all kinds of emotional and relational struggles. They're born again, and they love the Lord, so why are they like that? Because they aren't renewing their mind. They're not really coming into line, really taking God's word and really taking what it says and living it. So we need to do that. We pray this prayer in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you read about heaven, if you think about heaven, we talk about it as a place where there's no more sin, there's no more sickness, there's a place of connection with God, relationship with God. Just everything is beautiful and wonderful. Well, the will of God is that we would experience that on earth as it is in heaven. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to find out all that God has for me. I don't want to experience, I want to experience here, I want to partake of it here, what there is for me here, that God's provided for me here. I don't want to wait. I don't want to just like get through life here, barely getting through. I want to enjoy my life with you here. I want to enjoy my life with God here. I want to partake of everything that God has for me. I do not want to miss what he has. I don't just want to be positive, but I want to be biblical in how I think. So like whenever people ask me a question about life and about God, I always try and say, well, people think this, but biblically, this is why we think the way we think. It's like, you know, when people so choose a lifestyle of sin, right? So like when we, you know, shack up before marriage, or people live in a homosexual marriage, or whatever kind of lifestyle, if we decide we're going to live off robbing banks, or whatever sin we choose to live in, whenever we choose to live in that lifestyle of sin, we choose to shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we live that life of sin. But we have to decide to live God's way. The Bible said whenever we ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive us. But we can change, and we should change. I don't think that guilt or shame helps us to change or move forward. Has anybody ever been helped by being filled with guilt and shame with your walk with God? Has that ever helped you to grow? I don't think most people come to church to get beat up on Sunday morning, to be told you're a bunch of losers and you should do better and you should try harder and you know, hellfire and brimstone. I don't think that actually has the power to change people. Right? I don't think that when you call your kid stupid, that they get smarter. I think they actually feel like they're stupider. I don't think that if I say to you, you have to change, you need to change, you better change, I don't think that the negativity or the will I have to manipulate you or push you towards something is going to help you. Do you guys agree with that? I know there's people here that whenever anybody calls everybody to the front for prayer or for an altar call, that some people get ticked off because I don't want to be told to come to the front. I'm not coming to the front. And I get that because I don't think that should be a forced thing. I think we're going to pray for you all after the service if you'll let us. But I'm not going to force anybody up here. I'm not going to chase you down the hall if you don't want to have prayer. It's your choice. But if I say to you, it's possible to change. Change is possible. You can change. It's an invitation into something that's far greater than the life you have. And I think that God is inviting us into something. I don't think God's there just trying to beat you up and shake His finger at you. He's saying, hey, I love you. I got a plan for you. Come and follow me. If you tell a child they're stupid, it doesn't make them smart. It just makes them feel more stupid. So being unhappy with where you are won't bring change. But getting a vision of what God's Word tells you your life can be like will help you to move forward. And I think that's the deal. We need to learn what God's Word has to say about us, and we need to move forward into it. Right? We need to realize the life God wants for us and for our future. And then that will give us the octane, the boost that we need to actually live in. So, thinking about that, the first point I have today is our primary mission is to become like Jesus in our thinking. I was thinking about the life of Jesus. And Jesus, whenever you listen to what Jesus was saying, Jesus so often said these words, I only do what I see the Father do, I only say what I hear the Father say. His life was all about expressing the thoughts and the will of the Father when He lived on earth. And our goal and now our desire is to live out the thoughts and the will of Jesus on this earth, which is really the thoughts and the will of the Father on this earth. When we live for Jesus, we start finding out the things He has for us. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, we were reading this at youth the other night, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, or the word actually is to be metamorphosized, right? By the renewing of your mind in order to prove by you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. For those who live according to the flesh or the world's way of thinking set their minds on the things of the flesh or the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or to be fleshly minded, be worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when we were down in Williamsburg last November, like a few months ago, we were driving from Williamsburg to Virginia Beach to go to church in the morning. And while we were driving there, I was saying to Christine, I need to change. Something in my mind needs, I need to change the way I think because I'm stressing too much. I'm worrying too much. This is going to kill me prematurely the way I am right now. I need to figure out what to change and how to change it. Is anybody at that place in their life right now where you say, I need a change in my life. I need something to change because I can't keep going the way it's going. The good news is it doesn't have to stay the way it is. Change is possible. God's speaking to you right now in this room this morning and saying, change is possible. There's a change for you. You just got to reach out and receive it, right? The second scripture there was Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, those who live according to the... So I was down there, and I said, I need to change because the way I'm thinking is exhausting me. I didn't realize that one statement would be repeated back to me during this service in the morning. And that one phrase and that one thought, that one idea was going to bring me to a new place of thinking about God. Are you guys going to do cafe right now? Why don't you just, okay, come back in though, because we're going to pray, okay? Cool. I'm driving there and then we're going to a place. So we're supposed to be going to Cuba. That was our goal in August. We're going to Cuba. And then Cuba got wiped out, right? And so then, well, we're going to go to Dominican. And then there was a hurricane heading toward Dominican. And then we said, well, let's go to Williamsburg because we know that place. It's safe and it's cheap and I'm cheap and safe. So let's go there. So we're supposed to be in Cuba. We end up in church in Virginia Beach, which we had no plan on being there. And then the guy who's speaking there is from the West Coast, from Seattle. And then he's preaching about exactly the thing I need to hear about that day that would actually change my life and bring me into a place of just change that needed to happen. And I needed wisdom to make it happen. And I say, that's God. But I could have still sat there that day and say, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel the same. I mean, I still have the same stresses. I drove home back to Dunville, and I drove in the driveway, and the phone was ringing, and the pressure and the stress just could come right back again. But I had to make a choice to change. But while I was there, I saw God's hand so powerfully because of the coincidence, or we could call it coincidence, but I really feel like it was that God set us up, right? So I was there. I saw that God loved me enough to put me there and to show me this. And I said, well, there's a better way for me. God invited me to change back in Port Elgin while I'm walking on the beach. He's saying, will you change? And I said, well, I will, but I need help. Obviously, I'm not doing this on purpose. Obviously, I want to grow, but I don't know what to do. And I saw God lead me into a mentoring thing with Tony Miller. Then I saw God do this. And I'm like, well, God, you must really want me to change. You must think it's possible. So I'm going to believe it's possible, too. And I'm going to tell you all, God wants you to know this morning it's possible for you. You don't have to live the life you're living today. You can live better. You can have a better relationship with God. So become like Jesus in our thinking. To become like Jesus in our thinking, we have to replace old thoughts with new thoughts, biblical thoughts. For example, I used to think that I couldn't help but be stressed when I was caring for stressed people. Because that was the way I was built. That was the way God wired me. He wired me for that reason. I was made up emotionally. And that thought wore me out to the point where sometimes I felt like I would collapse. I mean, I sat with Anna's father. We sit as pastors and we pray for each other. So the pastors in town knew the few times when I was like getting ready to just turn into a puddle on the ground. And they're like, Ralph, go on a holiday. Get away. You know, but truthfully, the way I was thinking was killing me. Literally killing me. And so now... I realize, because I told you guys this scripture many times, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you, right? So I'm casting my cares on him, but I'm not casting your cares on him. I'm Jesus, so I'm going to carry your cares, right? Like, I could do that. So I'm walking around like, right? But then I realized, no, I got to cast your cares on Jesus too. So then every time these cares start weighing on me, I said, well, no. The old thought was, well, it's my job. It's my responsibility. It's who God wired me to be. If I don't carry this care around with me, I'm being lazy. I'm not really being as caring as I should be. I'm just not being a good pastor. And so then God revealed to me, no, that my words is cast all those cares on you, in him. So then I have to say, well, okay, so God, I'm casting that too. Not just my own cares, but all these other cares that have rolled on to me, I'm going to cast them on you. And then I walk free again. And then the cares come again. And I have to say, well, no, the truth is that they're not my cares. They're God's cares. I'm going to cast them on him. Change an old thought with a new thought, with a right thought, with a better thought, with God's thoughts. Right? So every time I feel that stress and anxiety weigh down on me, I remind myself about the new thought, the biblical thought, that is replacing the way of thinking that I had. It's replacing and taking on the thoughts of Jesus so I could be led to the life of Jesus. If you want to live the life of Jesus, you got to think the thoughts of Jesus. I really believe that. I haven't arrived yet. I know it's a constant process, but I'm in the process. What about you? What needs to change in your way of thinking this year? What thought process, what thought patterns are holding you back from what God has for you? What are you believing more about what the world says and circumstances say and trials say than what you believe the Bible says? So if I will start to think God's way and become more spiritually minded, as that scripture said, right, then the result will be joy and peace. So here's some of the thoughts that we think. So wife thinks about her husband. Well, my husband is never going to be, you know, he's never going to help around the house. My husband's always going to be insensitive, right? And the Bible says about man, right? A good man, his thoughts are ordered by the Lord, right? The Bible says that a righteous man may fall many times, but the Lord will pick him up. So why don't you start believing those thoughts about your husband instead of the thought that he's never going to change? Some people here think that every time a bug comes around, I catch it. Anybody ever said that? Whenever there's something going around, I'm always first one to catch it. I've heard a few of you say it, so if you don't, you know, agree, you lied to me or you're lying now, one or the other, right? But so instead, why don't we just replace it with this thought, that by his stripes I'm healed, right? That God has redeemed me from the curse, right? That I could be free, right? So some people think that God doesn't care really about them. They know God loves people, but he doesn't really they don't really believe that God loves them. What about replace that with the thought that God so loved me that he gave his only son, that whoever, that if I would believe in him, that I would not perish but have everlasting life? What about the thought that says that the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my tower, my place that I could run into, be as safe, and even 1,000 could fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none of these things. Right? So the Lord is my refuge. The Lord, better is one day in your house than thousands. So replace these thoughts that are not biblical. Right? Oh, my kids are just rebellious. All kids have to be rebellious. Right? Well, train up your child in the way he should go. And when he's not old, when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Believe that thought instead of the other thought. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because sometimes we see right in front of our face all the evidence that thought is true. But there's a higher truth. So the second thing I want to say is the thoughts of Jesus will lead us to the life of Jesus. We need to think the thoughts of God. It says in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if then we are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, in King James Version, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So for what am I seeking for? What are you seeking for? What are you seeking? The word seek means to search for, to try to find, to look for, to be on the lookout for, be after, hunt for, to be in a quest of. What are you in a quest for today? What are you hunting for today? Are you hunting for good? Or are you hunting for that great little morsel of gossip that would make, like, your day today, so you would have some information to, like, trade in today? Are you hunting for, you know, the presence of God, or are you just willing to say, well, God never really, you know, touches my life? What are you hunting for today? What are you going after for today? My suggestion is go for those things which are above. Have a godly attitude about how to live your life. Don't lower yourself to worldly thinking and action, but instead do your best and do it as unto the Lord. You know, I hear so many people right now, because like of all the whole minimum wage shift and stuff like that, some people that had worked their way up to like 13 or 14 bucks an hour, now all of a sudden are making minimum wage. And well, now they're going to expect me to work hard for just the same wage anybody old person gets. But like the thought that's above that thought is, do what you do with your whole heart is unto the Lord. And trust that God's going to take care of every one of your needs. Don't get caught in the world's attitudes, in the world's way of judging things. Don't compare yourself. Like I always told my kids this when they went to work, you know. Like you agree to go to work for a certain amount of money, and go to work and work for that amount of money. Go work hard. Do your best. If you deserve it, I'm sure you'll get a raise, and both of them have. And so, like, but the truth is, if we start comparing ourselves, if they go to work and they're making, like, back in the day, you know, 10 bucks an hour, that's minimum wage, and they find out someone they're working with who's a lazy slacker is making 14, all of a sudden they feel like they're getting ripped off. But don't compare yourself, but do everything you do with your whole heart as unto the Lord, not as unto a paycheck, not as unto a boss, but do it. That's a biblical thought. That's a new thought. Don't let yourself be settling for worldly thinking and action, but instead do your best and do it as unto the Lord. Set your mind on things above, and your life will follow. Where we set our mind matters. It's important. We are to renew our minds day by day. It's day by day, line upon line, the Bible says, precept upon precept. It says, Lord, like that I would hide your words in my heart. And that you can't hide the whole word of God in your heart in one day. It's a process. It's like taking words. And I was sitting down with a guy going through some struggles this week, and he was getting on his phone trying to find verses that God had spoken to him through the week. I said, well, you should really memorize those verses. If they really spoke to you, take 10 minutes and memorize the verse so you have it in your heart. We can't just make this a positive thinking experiment, because that is not what the Word of God is suggesting here. It's suggesting something far more powerful, something far more awesome. It's talking about taking a good look at God's Word and what it has to say, deciding to believe it as truth, that is all of it is truth, and then applying God's word to how you think. It's about taking the word of God and settling in your heart that it's God's word, that it's truth from cover to cover, and that you can believe what it says. And then not just buying into parts of it, but buying into the whole thing. We can't just take parts of the word of God and leave out other parts. If we're truthful, most of us have verses we like, right? We all have verses that we like. We like Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. It's cool to have a name like Jeremiah. Every time I think of that verse, I think about you. So I'm like, that's pretty cool. But the verse goes on to say, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart, I'll be there, right? So that's a good verse. It's a great verse, and we all love it. We love the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We love that verse, but some of us don't like the verse, right? Think if you like this verse, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord, right? How many of you like that verse? Woohoo! Right? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. How you doing with that? Is that good? You love that one? Got it underlined? Or he's just like, I don't look away, right? Like, I hate the verse in Hebrews that says, labor to enter into his rest. It's just like, so I'm working through. This is all part of this process. But for me, that verse is just like twisted me in knots for so many years trying to figure it out. sometimes I just want to push it away, and it just keeps coming back to me. Every year when I go through my Bible year in the Bible, I can't get away from it. I have to read it. And God keeps reminding me. But there's verses that we like and verses that we don't like. And sometimes we want to take the verses we like God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, right, by Christ Jesus, right? But we don't like the verse that said, you know, be wise, right, that store up treasures in heaven, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? We don't like those verses. We want to take the verses we like and we want to leave the ones we don't like. We like verses on healing and divine healing, but we don't like the verse that tells us if we can't forgive, you know, that God really has trouble dealing with that part and that he can't even hear our prayers when we won't forgive. The Bible says that. So there's all kinds of verses we love, but we have to embrace the whole Bible and live biblically. We can't just take the bits we like and leave out. We can. Right? We can, and we'll still get to heaven. But if you really want to have your mind renewed, we have to take the whole Scripture. We have to take it in light of the whole Scripture, and we have to apply it to our life. So we though, have to believe that the whole Bible is true, even if our circumstances don't agree. So when you have a headache, when you wake up with a headache, right? The Scripture says, by his stripes we're healed. Right? But you say, well, I don't feel healed. Actually, my head is really hurting today. And that's truth. It is a truth, right? When you have a headache, you have a headache. It's true, right? Anybody ever had a headache? Anybody enjoy those? I don't particularly like them. But a higher truth is that by his stripes we are healed. So you might have a headache today, and you need God's healing power. So the higher truth says, by his stripes, it actually says in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes I was healed. That it was a past tense, already done deal, but I'm still feeling and experiencing it today. But the higher truth is that it's looked after. It's done. The truth is, our bank account is empty and the mortgage is due. And I'm scared, and I don't know what to do. I feel so much stress. I'm looking at my computer screen and my balance, and I see what's coming, and I see there's nothing coming, and I don't know how this is going to happen. But seriously, the Word of God says that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And so we see the truth that's right in front of us. It's a real truth. But the higher truth is that all our needs are met by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So like Christine and I went through this whole debt process like years ago. And then she went back to school and kids started school. So we took on some debt, and this year was our debt elimination year. And we were probably into September and not really, maybe it was August, and we weren't doing that great with it, and we didn't really see a way to clear that debt this year. But we were trusting God that his word was true, that if we would do what he said do, right, that he would take care of that. And so Christine was out one day, and somebody put a check in her hand for a lot of money, like a lot of money. And it was enough to cover our debt. And we're out of debt. Praise Jesus. And we have a savings account with some money in it. We're not loaded, but the truth was we weren't going to make it this year the way things look. But we were hanging on to the truth that God said, you know, if you bring all your tithes into the storehouse, if you'll take care of, you'll be a good steward of what God's given you, God will provide. And he did. And like thousands of dollars, like not just somebody dropped a couple hundred bucks, no, thousands of dollars. It was like, can you believe this? And I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, we were so excited because it was exciting because of the person, but it was also exciting because God just provided. There's a higher way to live. And sometimes it doesn't happen like right at the moment we think it should, but we just have to keep trusting God that his ways are higher than our ways. He has a better way. He has a better plan. If you take the parts you like and ignore the parts you don't like, then you will never renew your mind. You must come to a belief that God's Word has the answer to whatever it is we are going through. And then we must trust in the higher and the highest truth that God's Word is true. That He's got us. That He's taking care of us. In John 30:11, I'm sorry. In John 15, verse 7 and 8, I'm going to close with this verse. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. If you will abide in him and let his word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done for you. Amen.